may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replaying I can see, I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I face my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as his grace rolled down upon me. Share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love is my beginning, and his love say it is this, God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them.
Thank you, Carino. Let's stand together just briefly. Thank you for that. Turn to Psalm chapter 128. Psalm chapter 128. For a few weeks this summer, we're looking at family and marriage. We're calling it, It's Never Too Late for Happily Ever After. The first week we read Psalm 127. This week we'll read Psalm 128. The key verse in Psalm 127 is verse 1 that said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Psalm chapter 128, verse 1. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the few minutes we have together. I pray that you'd help us as we look at our subject tonight. We see what the Bible says about our families and marriage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, as we've mentioned, the first couple weeks, marriage and family is really looked down upon in our society. Lots of jokes and all that stuff. And we've given some of the jokes. We're just messing around. But it is looked down upon in our society. By the way, it's been totally changed now. And so probably in a few years, secularly, you won't even recognize it. But God has an idea of what marriage is. And God's told us exactly what it is. There's nothing wrong with marriage, and there's nothing wrong with family. The problem is in how it plays out in our lives. In other words, there's two ways we can always do things. One way is man's way. The other way is God's way. Whenever we follow man's way, things don't turn out very well. Whenever we follow God's way, everything turns out fine. We seem to be following man's way. That is why we need to learn about our marriages and our families, or if you're not married or have a family yet, you need to prepare for it. So I mentioned last week, if you're not preparing for it now, that'd be like saying, I'm going to learn how to swim. Not a good illustration, but I'm going to learn how to swim once I'm drowning. That's not a good time to learn when you're swimming. It's nice to learn before you actually jump in the pool. Not that marriage is like drowning, okay? That's not what we're saying here. But we need to learn. Someone has said, I read, marriage does not create problems as much as it reveals them. A lot of the issues we have in our marriages and in our relationships are not because of the relationships. There are issues or things that we just have individually, and we bring that into the relationship, and the relationship just has a way of magnifying it. And so that's why we need to work on them. The chapter we read here in Psalms is a lot like the one we read the first week, Psalm chapter 127. The fear of the Lord is a great way to keep marriage and keep family, and not just family now, family going out for our future generations as they are raised right. The Lord must always be first place. If the foundation is faulty, anything that's built upon it will be faulty. Several years ago, and on many occasions they do this now, they'll build housing tracts on top of landfills. Landfills are really where they take garbage and they put it in there, and they fill that land in with garbage, and then they'll put grass or whatever on top of it, try to make it and try to make it usable land. And I read about one where I think it was in one of the Carolinas, they built over a landfill, and the neighbors started complaining because they started getting sinkholes in their lawn. Then the house started having issues, and the walls were cracking because the land they were not on was not stable. Literally, the problem with those houses is that they were built literally on garbage. Most homes today that are struggling are built on faulty foundations. Especially if we're not following the Word of God, we're really building we're building on garbage foundation. God's Word is solid rock. God's Word is truth, and what He says will help us to have the family, the marriages that God wants us to have. We've mentioned and talked about over the, just mentioned briefly in passing, and I think each of the first 2 weeks, that men and women need to understand each other because we are different. We're different. Doesn't mean one's better than the other, but we're made different. Everything about us is different. Now, society has tried to make that so politically incorrect that everybody's the same, but really, we're honest down in our core. We all know that we're different, and we need to understand each other, particularly in a marriage relationship. So what I want to look at tonight, we may not finish tonight, we may finish next week, I want us to understand each other and the needs that we have. Husbands have certain needs. Wives have certain needs. And if we don't understand each other, sometimes the problem in a relationship isn't that we're not committed to each other. It's just we're not learning each other. We don't understand each other. We're not taking the time to understand each other. We try to press our spouse into a mold that we understand when you can't do that. And by the way, your spouse is going to be different because you're a man and she's a woman, but you're also going to be different because typically opposites attract. And that's a good thing. If all of us in here were honest, we would not want to marry someone who is exactly like us, all right? That'd be weird. Okay? We want somebody that's just a little bit of a balance to us. And so we need to understand that. So we need to understand the differences, the needs of a woman, of a wife, the needs of a man. But first of all, I want us to understand the two big basic needs, one for each spouse. Turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we looked at Ephesians a little bit, but I just want to look at this one verse. Before we can move on to anything else, we need to understand the core key need that each spouse really has. Now, there are other things wrapped inside of that, but there's two core needs, and we alluded to them, I believe, the first week, but we really want to look at them tonight before we get into the other. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 says this. Sorry, I'll let you get there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." It's easy for you to talk when your wife's in the nursery, huh? We'll make sure she can. We're going to put speakers in there for her. This verse explains the one big need that each spouse has. God mentions it right here. It's the foundational need that'll help us to do all the other things that we need to make the marriage relationship work. And by the way, it doesn't sound romantic, but marriage is work. Oh no, it's a honeymoon. I've been married 30 years. It's great, but it's not been a 30-year honeymoon. A honeymoon's a honeymoon. Life happens. And a good relationship takes a couple of people that say, hey, I want to have the relationship. We're going to work to make sure that we have that great relationship. It takes some effort. What are the two needs? Well, the first one, husbands are to love their wives. Love. That's her big need. We are to love our wives. Does that mean wives aren't to love their husband? No, they're to love their husband. But wives need love from their husband. The second is for the wives. Wives are to respect their husbands. That's his need. So wives need love. Husbands need respect. Husbands are to love, wives need love, wives are to respect, husbands need respect. That's just how it works. When this isn't worked out properly, that's when you start to see problems. That's when small things become big. That's when things get blown out of proportion. In other words, when the husband feels, and I'm not saying, some of these statements I make, you say, well, that's not, you know, what you're supposed, I know, I'm telling you what happens, I'm telling you what it's supposed to happen sometimes. But when the husband feels that he is not respected, he sometimes has a hard time loving. Now, if a husband came into my office and talked to me, and I've had him talk to me before, and he said, you know what, my wife's not respecting me, I'm not going to love her. I would say, it doesn't matter whether she respects you or not, you're supposed to love her. So I'm not giving anybody a golden ticket to go out and be a knucklehead tonight. I'm just telling you how it plays out sometimes so we understand it. And when the wife feels that she's not being loved, she has a hard time respecting. Now again, if the wife came, I'd say, listen, give your husband respect. And we're going to look at a verse in a minute that'll show us that. So here's the problem. Without respect, a man acts typically, unless he's really committed to the Spirit of God, without respect, a man will act without love. And without love, a woman will act without respect. That's a vicious cycle. And two people that got married that thought that they got together for the right reason, there's no lack of commitment sometimes. They're just having a hard time making it all work. And by the way, it's worth the effort. If you get to understand each other and you make it work out, the payoff's great. But some couples have a hard time falling in line with that. And by the way, I mean, I'm getting ahead of my, you know, well, there's only one person you can change in any relationship, and that's you. Well, you know, if my spouse would just change, can't change him. Well, if he would just do this. I've talked to couples that have had trouble and split up, and trying to get them back together. And it's almost like if I could just get one of them, to commit to the relationship and go all in to make it work, it would work. And they're both standing on the outside saying, I'm waiting for the other person. That's a recipe for disaster. That's the vicious cycle. Now remember this. This is all a command of God. If you read there in Ephesians, I don't think it's a suggestion. God's telling us what it takes. God's telling us what we need to do. That's a command. And by the way, when there's issues, it's not that a husband doesn't love his wife if they're having issues. You go to a couple, they're not to the ending stage where they're ready to get out. But I'm telling you, they're having issues. If you said, well, are you saying your husband doesn't love you? In most cases, when they're having a conflict, you say, no, I know he loves me. Or you go to a husband and say, well, you really think that your wife is not, no, I'm not saying she doesn't respect me. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, sometimes in the conflict, a husband will act without love and a wife will act without respect. And that's what we need to work on. When a man is trying to understand and meet the needs of his wife, as we will talk about here in a little bit, he is showing his wife that he does love her. And when a wife is trying to understand and meet the needs of her husband, and she is showing respect for him, or the Bible word is reverence. So before we move on, I just want to make sure it's in our mind. Husbands, love. We looked at one verse in Ephesians. There's another one, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wife. Just so God wanted to make sure we understood what love was, he gave us a definition. Because we have a tendency to define God's terms our ways. Well, you know, that was love. No, God wants it to be pretty point blank what love is. Look what he says. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's not some kind of superficial, self-serving love that if I give this, I'm going to get this back. That's not love. It says it's sacrificial. A man came one time to the old preacher, Harry Ironside, many, many years ago. He came to talk to him, and he said, I have a serious problem. He goes, I think I have a problem here. He goes, well, what's your problem? He goes, I'll be honest. He goes, I really think that I love my wife too much. I think it's affecting my relationship with God. I love her so much. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, man, I think she's the greatest thing in the world. I can't wait to get home. I love her too much. And Harry Ironside read this verse to him and said, well, do you love her as much as Christ loved the church? He's like, well, I don't think so. He goes, then you don't love her too much. You can't love your wife too much. You can't. Do you love her more than Christ loved her? Do you love her to the degree that Jesus loved, that he sacrificed and gave himself for it? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The husband is commanded by God to love his wife. And what we need to understand is if God is telling us that that we're to love our wife, then what he is saying is because she needs it, we need to give it to her. And then he says, wives, respect. Look back in Ephesians up a few verses. Now, this won't be popular for a few minutes, but we'll survive. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Now, let me say this. We don't like submission because it's like, oh, so you're saying that the man's a dictator and all that. No. No one said that. By the way, there's a safeguard in submission. You know what the safeguard in submission is? Husbands, love your wives. But there's a chain of command, and God has said, listen, the man is the head of the home as Christ is the head of the church. Does that mean the wife is not as good or not as important? Doesn't mean that at all. Any more than in a military, there's rankings. general, major, all those different rankings. Doesn't mean one man's better than another. Just one has that position of leadership, of making decisions. Now again, a husband's not a dictator and all that, and we always take the extreme case. It's like a football team. You have you'll have how many players on? 45 players on a team. You'll have one guy who's the captain. He may not necessarily even be the best player. He's just a leader. And that's what God is saying. And so that part of that submission is part of showing respect for your husband and his position. Look at 1 Peter. Here's how important reverence is. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Sometimes people get saved. They come into Christianity and they're already married. They get saved. One's saved. The other's not saved. And so... Peter's going to talk about that, particularly here towards the wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, he's not a hardcore obedient Christian, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, wives, that's not the kind of conversation you think. Okay, talking to them. It's a manner of life, the way you're living. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. He's saying, listen, wives, if you are respectful to your husbands in this area, even if he's not obeying the word, maybe he's not saved, he can be won because he's looking at your life. And that respect that you're giving him is so powerful, he sees there's something different about you. There's even scientific evidence that show these two things to the foundation. The University of Washington had a 20-year study of 2,000 couples, not the same type, different nationalities, different social levels and so forth, and they found out that the ones that did well, the two big things that they had going for them in their relationships were love and respect. Love and respect. It's kind of a big deal. So we need to understand that as couples, we need to catch sometimes those little encoded messages that come our way. In other words, look, sometimes you say, man, my wife's just being emotional today, and she seems a little edgy and a little irritating, and maybe, that could be her way of just saying that maybe she's not feeling that you're loving her. And I'm not saying acting that way is right. I'm just saying sometimes, look, I have found that whenever there's a conflict in relationship, the issue is not always the issue. How many of you know that? Man, there's some big thing and everybody's blowing up and everybody's going at it, and it's like, it's not that issue right there. There's something underlying. There's a root cause. And a lot of times in the reaction that comes out, the root cause is you're not showing that lady love. And sometimes they act out. Now, how a husband does, he's irritable. And sometimes he's quiet. Men sometimes, unless we don't like conflict. Some people, they thrive on conflict. They try to start it. My husband's being quiet and he's not doing that. What's going on there? It could be because he feels like you're not respecting him. And again, I'm not saying it's ever right to do those things. None of those responses are right. But I'll just be honest with you. We are human, right? And sometimes our feelings get out. It's like the wife that told her husband, she went up to her and said, man, you're always telling me that you would die for me. How come you haven't done it yet? How many of you wives have ever felt that way? Really? Good. Thank you. You're all lying. The reason we struggle in our relationship in these things is because we have a tendency to look at everything through our own glasses. In other words, I'm a man, I think a different way, I see things a different way. So when I look at a situation between my wife and I, I'm going to have a tendency to look through it through man-colored glasses. Someone outside like that, thank you. Robert, you moved outside and you're still talking. And ladies, you look at the situation through lady-colored glasses. Your husband's not going to react like that. Well, if it was me, I'd do this. Praise the Lord, he's not you. Well, if I was her, I would do this. She's not you. Okay? We have to look through it and say, listen, we have to understand each other. We have a hard time doing that. And let's help each other out. Listen, ladies, anytime your husband does anything to try to show you love, accept it. Now, I'll just be honest with you. We're not good at that. Let me know that. We're not, look, oh, by the way, quit listening to the, they call it love music. It's not love music, it's lust music. Quit listening to the music. Quit watching the stupid shows. That guy doesn't act like that to his wife either. But, oh, you have this ideal, and he's romantic, and he does all this stuff. Listen, we have no clue. When we got married, we don't get it. We don't get it. And your husband comes home, and he has some kind of way he tried to show love to you, and maybe it's not there yet. By the way, guys, learn how to make it get there yet, okay? That's no excuse. By the way, let me say this, guys. An iron is not a good anniversary gift. Neither is a vacuum. Those are bad gifts. Say, man, I bought her a $500 vacuum, and she hasn't talked to me all day. What's wrong with her? You probably would have done better off buying her $14 flowers, dead vegetation. I don't get that. I think it's a waste. It's going to die in 3 days, whatever. But you know what? That's what they like. Get them what they like. Husbands, any way your wife tries to show respect to you, take it. Be thankful. But we have a hard time doing that. Before we move on, there's something it's not originally me, but someone talks about the five love languages. Whenever we talk about couples getting married, we try to tell them, listen, now, these things I'm going to mention, we're supposed to do all of them, but your spouse will react to one of these things more than they will some of the other. You need to find out what they like. That's very important. Words, talking, affirmation. It could be a husband, it could be a wife. Some like that. They like to, now you have to lie, ladies, sometimes, and God forgives you for this. I think there's a special grace. You know, oh, your muscles are so big. Compared to what? Okay? Maybe they're not. You know, oh, you look so, no, we don't say that. But, you know, this, nice things to each other. Same kind. By the way, some people, now, I think we ought to always at times say, hey, you know, that's nice, and, wow, what'd you do with your hair? For me, nothing. Okay? You know, it was pretty easy. You know what? That's looking. You did that. Wow. Some people really, that they like that. That connects with them like, wow, he's showing me love. Other people are like, okay, thank you. Fine. Thanks. Acts of service. Doing things for each other. Let me get that for you. Let me fix that for you. Let me do this or let me help you with that. Some people, they like it. To them, that's when you're showing love and respect, when you're doing something for them. Giving a gift. You know, I was thinking about you today. I bought this for you. Now, I'll be honest with you right off the bat. That's not my wife's gift. One time I just made it. Every week I'm going to buy her something nice. Just over the top. Every Friday, bring her home something. And I did that for about a month. Oh, thank you, honey. That's great. All that. After a month, she's like, listen, I know what you're doing. You don't need to do that. I don't need it. I'm good. And she's being sincere. Now, when she wouldn't try to be rude, she says, you know, let's just save that money. You know what she's saying? That's fine. She appreciated it. But she's saying, you don't have to do that to show your love for me. That's really not her love language. Praise the Lord. You know, Christmas, I used to always buy her nice jewelry. And our anniversary, I'd get her some little nice jewelry. And I'm thinking, she never wears them. Now, she would. I'm like, do you not like the jewelry? She goes, you know what? I'm really just not a jewelry person. And I'm like, that's great. I'm saving cash. But I have to find the things that she likes and show her, hey, this is what she really connects with. And I'm glad it's not gifts. I still buy her gifts every now and then, a cup of coffee or something really important like that. Some people, they like that quality time, that time together, spending time. Some people, it's affection. Now, look, you can even look at this with your children. I got four daughters. They're all different. Some, they're huggy and touchy. Others are like, you can shake my hand. Others are like, I don't need a hug. I'm good. That's not what communicates to them. The point I'm making is this. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says this. It's talking to husbands, but I think you can apply it to both of us. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You know what he's saying? Dwell with your wife. You really need to know who she is. You ought to know what it is that they like. You ought to know what that way that you can show them. By the way, you know what we do, though? We do the opposite, don't we? You know, here's what we do. I know that button to push when I want to make them mad. Don't do that. Right? Don't be a button pusher. If you know what that button is that irritates them or gets to them, that's good to know so you don't ever push it. What we ought to do is know so much about them, we know what we can do to make them happy and meet their needs. Now, in the 10 minutes we have left here, I want us to talk. The first thing was the two big needs. Husbands need to love their wives. Wives need to respect their husbands. That's the foundation. Now, what are some of the needs of the wife? I have 7 basic needs here. We'll go through these quickly. What are the wife's basic needs for you being the husband? First of all, she needs the husband to be the spiritual leader. You know what the curse of our country is? The curse of our country is that ladies are more spiritual than men. Ought not to be that way. It shouldn't be husbands staying home on Sunday mornings because it's football season or because there's something else going on and mama has to get up and bring the kids to church by herself. Shouldn't be that way. Ought to be the husband. There's something inside every lady. Look, you don't have to be, you don't have to be Dale Moody, but you know, your wife, I look, you say, he's going the right direction. They want you to be spiritual. They want to know that you're going first and foremost. Hey, it's Tuesday night. We're going soul winning. All right, no, we're all going. We're going to church Sunday night, Thursday night, Sunday. We're not going to miss. We're leading the family. Hey, we don't do that. By the way, sometimes fathers, you just need to learn the word no. It's a good word. No. Dad, no. I was going to ask if I'd give you $20. Okay, no. Just no. Be the leader. Wife wants you to be the leader. Deep in her heart, spiritually speaking. Let's change it to now where the spiritual ones aren't, and ladies, be spiritual, but let's change it to where ought to be the men being spiritual. By the way, ladies, we were talking about respect. If your husband tries to show any spiritual leadership, jump up and down and do 25 flips. Encourage him in that area. But guys, we need to be the leader. A second need that a wife has, she needs to know that you need her. See, and we've mentioned it before, it's the hunt and the chase. Well, you know, but you were pursuing her before you were married. You were after her. Oh, I love you so much. You're the, and then you get married. It's like, all right, now what? Now what? Oh, so now that she has a ring on her finger, now that you live at the same address, you don't need her anymore. You need to keep pursuing her. You need to keep letting her know, you know what? You are important to me. I still need you. It wasn't just back when it was 30 years ago when we were in college and I was single and I saw you as a washing machine. No, that's not how it works. You pursued her, keep pursuing her. By the way, she's number one. You need her more than you need the children. Oh, but we love, and by the way, you ought to both love the children, but that marriage relationship is way more important than those children. And by the way, the best thing you can do for those children is have a good marriage relationship. That's what the kids want. No, little Oswald, you go away. This is mommy and daddy time. Leave us alone. By the way, some of you have the kids sleep in your room. Don't do that. Okay, now I know every now and then they get sick or whatever. Okay, that's fine. It was like 4 months ago, one of the grandkids was over. Charlie, you can sleep with us tonight. That's fine. I ended up on the couch. That kid cannot, she can't sleep vertically, sideways, arms out. So that never again. That will never happen again. Ever. Oh, Charlie's sleeping. No, she's not. We'll put her in the closet. She ain't sleeping with us. Okay. But you can't have a good relationship if you always have a kid in your room. Okay. By the way, one of those days, hopefully, they'll all get married, leave the house. Amen. And you're going to look at that and say, who are you? That's your wife. Your husband, you ought to still be number one the whole time over your job. Some of you guys, you have hobbies that are more important than your wife, than your wife. Next, she needs to know that you delight in her, that you still like her. I know you love her, but you still like her. You want to be around her. that she is your light. Right? Your wife is not your old lady. Come on over here, woman. You know, and I know in the South they do this. Oh, mommy and daddy. Oh, I've called herself mommy to me. I said, you're not my mother, trust me. My wife. Okay, I don't want a mother, I want a wife. But that's how it is. Delight. Do you still delight in her? Well, you know, it's been 20 years now. So? Hey, 20 years, it ought to be better. Doesn't mean it's perfect, but it ought to be better. You ought to know each other so well that the relationship can be better. She needs to know that you still delight for her. She needs to know that you watch out for her. As a leader, sometimes you need to put limitations, help her. You know, my wife is more of, she's like a doer. Just farm girl comes out, you know, and all over the map and does everything. It's like, okay, you don't have to do everything. She just kind of, she'll volunteer to help anybody for everything. And that's a good quality, by the way. That's a quality I liked in her when we were courting, dating. But if she's not careful, she can volunteer for a million things. It's like, sister, you don't need to do everything. Okay? We need to watch out for one another. Believe it or not, fellas, I know this will be hard for some of you to believe. Another need is she needs time with you. Say, you've not been to our house. Could be because you're not giving her time she needs. I think she needs daily time with you. That doesn't, you know, there ought to be a little bit of time each day. You kind of talk to each other, maybe before you go to bed, when you come, whatever it is. There needs to be that daily connection, let her talk and get things out. And I know the busyness of life can get around. Guys, you know, we come home and it's like, how was your day? It's like, great. What'd you do today? Stuff. You know, that for us, that's a good answer, right? Everything's, that was great, yeah. What'd you, a lot of things. What'd you do today? Have a seat. Okay, you know, I was driving to the grocery store. And by the way, I saw this blue dog. He was over here in the corner doing over this and all that. Let him talk, you know. That's time together. She needs that. By the way, you need time together weekly. You need a date night. And we talk about this all the time, but I wonder how many of you really do have a date night. I mean with each other. Date night. Going out. You ought to set up a night, and that night is your date night. And really, it ought to be your date night, I would say, at least 90% of the time. Don't break it. Now, you wanted to date her before you were married. What happened? Maybe that's why she reacts sometimes. She's got the kids and all this other stuff going on, and you can't take her out. By the way, let me just say this. McDonald's is not a restaurant. Fact of the matter, it's not even food. There's zero nutrition. You'd have better off eating a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Okay? Now, Taco Bell is barely food. But, you know, splurge. Take her somewhere really important, like Burger King. Say, you're my queen. I'm taking you to Burger King. Hey. Take her out. And I would also say sporadically, maybe once, twice a year, depending on your work schedule. We always try to do this at least once or twice a year where we go away for the day. We're not going out of town. We're not doing anything, but we just go away. We'll spend the day. We went out June. The first of June. We went away for the day and went down to Promenade, I think it is. We just walked down there and spent money. And, you know, we just had the day together. And that, you know what? I don't just say, all right, man. Got to waste a day today and take her out. I enjoy it. By the way, I like being with my wife most of the time. I like being with her. You ought to find time. By the way, I'm running to the store. Now, I don't always go to the store because, you know, whatever. But, you know, if she's going to the store sometimes, I'm home not doing it. I got to go to Costco. You know, she's just, I'll go with you. Why? Samples. Come on, man. Costco's got the best samples in the world. I didn't even know I needed a cheese stick until I saw it on the table. I'm like, I need those. But, you know, listen, are you doing it? And I'll do it with my kids. The girls are going to shy. I'm going to go to Costco. I'll go with you. It's just another way to be with each other. Oh, but that's not Instagram moment. I know. That'll build your marriage. And then yearly, I think you ought to take a vacation together. Say, well, the family comes. That's not my fault. No. She needs to know that the family's important to you. Well, I'm too busy to go. Look, you need to take vacation. You need to go away with your family. Very important. She needs time with you. Let me give you the last two and we'll be done. She also, another need is that you are aware of her. That you're aware of her her presence when she's around. Don't forget to do the nice things. Open the door for her. Now, sure enough, you're going to see my wife get in my car, and she's going to have to open the door. I'm sorry, Mike. I have one of those electrical keys, and it doesn't work. And there's no, you can, and so it has this little key I can use, but it's only on my side. So I have to unlock, and by the time I unlock the door, she's already crawled through the window, so she's fine. You know, opening the door for her. When she sits at the table, pull the chair out, not all the way. She could hit the floor. Don't do that. Okay? Just small little ways of saying, listen, you're still important to me. We've lost that. Sitting by her, carrying things for her. Here's one you guys won't like, but you can deal with it any way you want. Being accountable. She ought to know where you're at all the time. But I'm a man. I'm the leader of my home. You're not very bright. What do you got to hide? If you don't want your wife to know where you're at, let me just ask you a question. Where are you at? Oh, she doesn't trust me? I can see why. Let me see your phone. You can't see my phone. Why? I just lost the whole crowd. What do you got to hide? You shouldn't have anything to hide. You ought to say, you know what? You're so important to me, you can know where I'm at all times. Our phones, we have Find My Friend. I guess we're still friends. So you know where I'm at? By the way, you know that's nice when you live by schedule. You can't get yourself in trouble. I pretty much know where I'm going to be all the time, and they can know where I'm at. Very important. What you're saying is, I want you to know where I'm at because you're important to me, and I'm aware of you in my life. Okay. Don't be a slob. Just thought I'd throw that one in. Don't be a slob. I'm a me man, you woman. Listen, pick up your own clothes. Okay? She's not your slave. Okay. Oh, hey, here's the last one. Invest in her. Invest in her. Be willing to put forth what it takes to help her out, to meet her needs. By the way, when our ladies go to the youth conference, some of them need to go to youth conference, but when they go to the ladies' conference, if you're a husband, you ought to make your wife go. It's good for her. Oh, you know, I can't go because the kids are at home. And you know, like, no, honey, if you want to go to ladies' conference, that's fine. Me and the kids, we'll try to make it. You know, I think we'll be okay. How does that diaper go on again? Listen, be a man. They're your kids too, by the way. By the way, Brother Pineda helped me with this one. Husbands don't babysit. Those are your children. You're not babysitting them. You're parenting. Okay, now that you all hate me. But invest in her. And we'll talk about the men next week because that's going to take a lot of time. They need all kinds of problems. Point is this, as I've mentioned before, marriage is a good thing. It ought to be where, I would rather be married than single. Marriage is good. Oh, but I'm single and I have all this freedom. Freedom's overrated. Not that I'm not free. There's freedom in marriage. Was I supposed to say that, honey? Thank you. Marriage is great. You know why marriage is a disaster? We don't follow God's way. Man messes up everything we touch. Why? It's a curse of sin. And if we'll just put the effort to get to know each other, we'll just put the effort in, as I mentioned last week, not to see what I can get out of the marriage, but what I can give to the marriage. When you give to the marriage is when you get out of the marriage. When you try to get out of the marriage gets sucked dry, and no one gets anything. Marriage is a good thing, and I hope we'll work on it. Let's all stand together this evening.